I used to say to patients, they say, well, what's a good diet? I said, fruits and vegetables, nuts and seeds. I think I have to, you know, push the fruits down a little bit. When it comes to dense proteins, that's a controversial area, because I think it's been shown that too much protein consumption is associated with diseases like cancer.
Very important for people to understand that the animal source proteins, the very dense proteins that you mentioned, Dr. Slavin, need to be consumed in very small amounts. But for someone who is on that path toward developing insulin resistance, elevated blood sugar, very, very important to understand that protein, a good animal source protein at every meal is a very valuable recommendation, but the amount...
A controversial one.
Controversial?
Animal source protein.
Okay, and see...
It's about quantity, you know.
And that's what I'm saying. Yeah. It needs to be in very moderate amounts. When you think about certain types of... in the plate, how the plates look in different diets, that animal source protein is almost like a condiment, maybe 2 or 3 ounces of that protein, and the rest of the plate is vegetables.
Janet, I got to bring up this point. We saw a Triple Crown winner this year. Do you remember the name? I can't, it slips my mind. I know they misspelled it. But anyway, it was a horse.
Yes.
And what kind of diet does a horse eat?
Vegetarian, but we're not horses, Dr. Slavin.
No, but with the vegetarian diet, they get strong bones, they get strong muscles, and lots of muscles. So you can provide the nutrients you need from a vegetarian diet with certain caveats there. But I think we tend to eat too much protein.
I agree mm-hmm. that we eat too much protein, but you're comparing a human digestive system to an equine or a bovine digestive system. I believe that those very, very unfair comparisons.
All right, let's compare a human's digestive system with a gorilla's digestive system. What do gorillas eat?
Okay. Gorillas eat nothing but plants. They do eat ants and things like that, insects. But I am going to say that their digestive systems are very, very different than humans as well. And I'm just thinking about their habits of elimination and how much sleep they require every day. Their lifestyle. I'm sorry. I am very, very much a fan of animal protein. I'm very much a fan of the eat right for your type diet. And the most common blood type in the world is O. And I actually have a personal experience with eliminating animal protein from my diet, keeping in mind that I always ate eggs. So I did eliminate fish, I did eliminate poultry, beef, pork, lamb, any of those animal source proteins, but I always ate eggs and I always ate some dairy.
Most of the best information we get, scientific information, comes from observing other cultures or civilizations, seeing their lifestyle, seeing their diet, and observing what illnesses they succumb to or not. And there have been very very strong evidence that a more of a plant-based diet is a healthier diet.
I will say more mm-hmm. of a plant-based diet, but I also say animal protein along with those plant-based foods. And the plant-based foods that I think Americans are choosing that are contributing possibly to the problems and health issues that they're experiencing are the grain foods and the fruits. And with that starch content in the grains, even if they're choosing unrefined grains, they're cooking their whole oats, they're cooking their whole millet and all of those different choices of grains. And the fruits, I'm sorry, I don't think that steering people solely in that direction serves good health for many people.
Would you say there's no consensus on this topic? between us.
Well, there's no consensus at this table, that's for sure.
No, but not just between us. I mean, in the whole realm of health.
And I absolutely agree with that. I think that so many times someone finds something that works for them as an individual, and it could be their exercise routine, it could be their sleep patterns, it could be their food choices, it could be just their overall lifestyle, hobbies, and so on, and they think that that's what they should put out there as the only way to eat.
Well, and I've had patients come back to me and say they become a raw food person and they've never felt better. But this, again, is where testing comes in. You do a test, and not just a CBC or Chem panel. You got to get a little deeper to know what's going on with your body. And if you see things are wrong, you know you have to make a change. And you have to experiment where the changes should come from.
And just going to that CBC and Chem panel, wouldn't you say that's the basis of what so many different doctors use in, let's say, an annual exam, an annual meeting with their patient? And it is very adept at identifying a pre-disease or disease state for which the doctor has a pharmaceutical. But in-depth testing, such as the testing that you would work with your patients, is a completely different realm and doesn't necessarily point up the need for a pharmaceutical.
So I think the way to summarize today's topic, if you get sick, go to the emergency room or go see a physician because they have the quick fix for you. But if you want to keep away from doctors, then, you know, find the physician or healthcare provider that's going to get this testing for you, so you can determine for yourself if you're taking the appropriate steps to stay healthy, because you won't get that information from a mainstream physician. They'll do the CBC and Chem panel, see if you're sick enough to go in a hospital or not, and to determine what drug they want to give you. But health is not defined as who's taking the most drugs.
Very, very important point. And I know we're summarizing, but I have one more question for you, Dr. Slayton. You talked about the doctors being prevented from providing certain information to their patients, potentially natural ways of overcoming certain issues that the patient is dealing with. What's preventing the doctors from sharing that information?
The brainwashing that they underwent during their training session. You know, what is, you know, brainwash, sleep deprivation, constantly being drummed in, this is the way you do it, being surrounded by people that do it all the same way. I mean, this is how healthcare is promoted in this country, but that's not to say there aren't other approaches, but it's really up to the healthcare consumer to find out for themselves which approach works best for them, because there's a place for all of them. It's not just, you know, only mainstream medicine. I mean, they're good if you have an acute problem. Even to take a medication is okay in the short term, but you can't just take it forever and ignore what's causing the problem. You have to then search out the underlying cause, and the mainstream doc prescribing the medicine isn't the one to give you that information.
Let the recording show that I am sitting here nodding my head in 100% agreement with that statement, Dr. Slavin.
And the reason and really, in all fairness, the doctor's focus, I mean, their interest is on the mainstream medicine approach, prescribing drugs, because that's what they were taught. That's all they know how to do. You have high blood pressure, take this drug. You have diabetes, take this drug. you have cholesterol issues, take this drug, instead of saying, you know, maybe if I address lifestyle and all the lifestyle habits that people have, I can get them off all those drugs, get them off the diabetes, the high blood pressure, the cholesterol drugs, because that's what happens when you get back on a healthier lifestyle and diet.
One of the phrases that I used earlier in our discussion was the medical merry-go-round and the financial incentive that seems to be present with doctors prescribing certain medications, those medications needing continual follow-up, let's say monthly or quarterly follow-up to be tested. And then as the situation progresses in spite of the use of this pharmaceutical, the recommendation is then to see another specialist practitioner and again more medication. So that the health issue seems to progress and that there is a monetary incentive, not necessarily to show the patient so a different road.
We're trying to change people's minds here. And another example is the recommendation at 50, get a colonoscopy. Colonoscopies don't prevent colon cancer. Colonoscopies look for business. That's why they recommend a stress test. Stress tests don't prevent heart disease. They find business. You see how healthcare is set up to do all these tests to find sick people that they can make money on, instead of putting the emphasis on better lifestyles, you know, better eating, exercise, stress control, all these things that can help your body function better and hopefully prevent those types of illnesses.
You mentioned colonoscopy, Dr. Slavin, and I think we should share with our listeners some of the options that might be available so that they don't necessarily have to submit to an invasive procedure, a procedure that requires an anesthetic that has its own separate set of dangers, as well as the possibility that some pharmaceuticals may contribute to increasing your risk of developing different diseases of the lower digestive tract.
For sure. You know, not everybody gets these diseases. And it's funny how we don't study the healthy people. We only study the sick people because we're looking, by studying the sick people, I'm saying we do studies to see what drug regimen or what chemotherapy is going to work the best, instead of looking at the people that don't get sick and find out what did they do.
Okay, so here's my thing that I observe. People taking statin class drugs, what happens to them? Their fat-soluble nutrients, vitamin A, vitamin D, vitamin E, and vitamin K. K being critical in your body's ability to support proper metabolism of calcium, calcium being a critically important nutrient for a properly functioning colon. Fat-soluble nutrient vitamin D being lowered with the presence of statin class cholesterol-lowering drugs. Vitamin D being critically important also in metabolizing calcium and maintaining healthy tissue in the colon. Vitamins A and E, those fat-soluble nutrients having superior antioxidant content and protecting healthy cells. So many different nutrients being supported, maintaining healthy colon tissue. The use of a statin drug to lower cholesterol having far-reaching negative situations. And Dr. Slavin, you have a very, very reasonable approach with your patients that precludes the need for a colonoscopy, or at least sets apart the patients who don't necessarily at this particular point need a colonoscopy, and identifying the patients who might possibly be benefited by having a colonoscopy. And And for everyone who has tuned in to naturaldocradio.com, thanks for visiting us today. And make sure you visit often, because we have new and interesting audio articles for you to tune into all the time. Thanks for visiting.